Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
Well, I gotta be honest, Robbie. After watching this week's episode, I'm very happy with my decision to not have children.
What about a lizard?
A lizard, okay. You know, I got four cats and a dog, so a lizard wouldn't add that much.
True. That's very true. I mean, to be fair, any animal besides maybe like a horse or an elephant would really wouldn't add that much.
Not to this household.
Oh, before we get into this week's episode, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. It really helps us out. Just takes a few moments. We really appreciate it. I don't know what that noise Matt just made was, but it's him saying, please give us a review on iTunes. 5 stars.
It's me cutting myself if you don't review us.
Jeez. Okay. That's a little... All right, Matt. He's not going to do that, folks. But please, I would appreciate it. Matt's a little taking it to extremes, I guess. On this week's episode is Selma's Choice, episode 9F11, originally aired January 21st, 1983, written by David Cern, brother of Daniel Stern, directed by Carlos Baeza, finished 27th in the ratings of the week, Nielsen rating at 14.2. I don't know if it was the highest rating show on Fox that week, but I'm going to say it was, because I like
because,
Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chalkboard gag, I will not yell, she's dead, during roll call.
I have to admit, I might have done that once or twice when I was a kid, especially after seeing this episode, but it's rude. They're probably not dead. And if they are, you're going to feel really bad.
Yeah, I would say don't yell it if they actually are dead. That's the only time. Other times, it's fine. Do they even still do roll call in schools?
I don't think so. I think most classes these days, I would hope the teacher would know every single student and would know when one of them's not there. But bad teachers, maybe. Substitute teachers.
Subs, they can't help it. Couch gag is they are caught by a net. A little trap.
They're up in the game.
It's a trap. So guest stars, quote unquote, Phil Hartman. Calling him a guest star at this point feels a little wrong. He just feels like an additional cast member because he's almost in every episode this season, it seems.
Yeah. I feel like in most shows you get a guest star when you're not playing the same character, but the Simpsons actors play tons of characters, so that's not really a distinction.
No. The episode begins with the Simpsons watching television. Imagine that. That never happens. They are watching Lance Murdoch jump school buses on fire. The school buses are on fire. He is not on fire. He doesn't actually catch on fire. He does ran headfirst into like a concrete wall. And they do the typical sports figure, and what are you going to do now? And his answer is, I'm going to Duff Gardens. And that, we get an advertisement for Duff Gardens.
Duff Gardens, home of the whiplash.
To be completed in 1994.
And the washing machine.
Wow.
It's later than 1994, so maybe that roller coaster is actually done.
Yeah, Whiplash maybe would have gone right after that. Not featured in that clip is the beer aquarium with the saddest fish I've ever seen.
Well, you never know. You don't know what their minds seem like, so maybe they're happy. They're just, lethargic.
Yes, because those words go together all the time, Matt. When I'm lethargic, I'm happy.
Well, if you spend all day in bed, yeah, that pretty much describes as lethargic, and you're probably happy about that. So.
Okay. You have a strange definition of happy, Matt. they are psyched to go to Duff Gardens, the family is. Unfortunately, Marge informs them that Aunt Gladys has died. Her Aunt Gladys, and Bart and Lisa, their great aunt. They don't really know who she is vaguely after, Marge describes her, and they go, oh, that one? Like, they vaguely remember her. They of course, they have to call off their trip because they have to attend the funeral. Both Bart and Lisa take it pretty well. Homer, not so much.
Looks like we'll have to go to Duff Gardens another time.
We understand.
No, he's complaining about something you can't change.
But I want to go to Duff Gardens right now.
Oh, Homer, quit pouting.
I'm not pouting. I'm mourning.
Stupid dead woman.
It's a little low, Homer. A little low.
That's true. I mean, I understand wanting to go to Duff Gardens really badly, but, come on, man. She's dead.
You're an adult.
Show some respect.
You're an adult. You can go whenever you want. Go next weekend. Just wait one more week. We cut to them making a trip to where the funeral is. It's unclear how far they have to go, but it's enough that they carpool with Patty and Selma. Homer comforts them. Seems genuine about it, actually.
For once.
Yeah, for once. Patty and Selma are not too pleased. Trying to think of MacGyver. They stop at a buzzing sign diner. Homer can't beat the maze on the children's playmat many, many, many times. we finally get to the Lucky Stiff funeral home. They meet their Grandma Bouvier, Jackie Bouvier. There's a big crowd until Patty, during her eulogy, informs them that Gladys really had no money. And then everyone leaves because that's mainly why they're there. We get Bart. And Bart tricking Lisa and believing that Inglass is still alive.
Don't hassle the dead boy. Have powers. Eerie powers.
Yeah. Don't hassle the dead. Homer breaks into tears because he thinks that it's the funeral is catered. What? Are funerals catered, Matt? Or ceremonies?
I think funeral receptions, like wedding receptions, are often catered, but the actual ceremony itself, not usually.
Yeah, I'm like, they don't have food near the body. It's not, that's just, it seems strange. They finally get to the reading of the will, where we meet Lionel Hutz, who's the executor.
I'm Lionel Hutz, executor of Ms. Bouvier's estate. She left a video will, so I earn my fee simply by pressing this play button. Pretty sweet, eh?
I would like to start by reading a passage from Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And... Homer?
All in favor of skipping the poem? Thank you.
And that has made all the difference. Now, let's get down to business.
To my executor, Lionel Hutz, I leave $50,000.
Mr. Hutz?
You'd be surprised how often that works. You really would.
Oh, Lionel.
Miguel Sanchez. Although, to be fair,
yeah, if someone tried to read a poem in their video will, I'd probably fast forward as well. Because, you know, that's great for later on, but this is a will. Get to business.
All right, Matt. Guess you see how much I leave you in my will. I'm gonna make it contingent that no one gets anything unless they listen to me read a poem.
Hey, I would have listened to a poem eventually, but not during the will reading.
That's kind of a trite poem to pick to read.
Yeah.
So, we do eventually get to the stuff that she's giving out.
To Marge, I leave my collection of potato chips that resemble celebrities. They're all here. Otto von Bismarck, Maurice Chevalier, right up to Jay Leno. These chips were my children, Marjorie. Take special care of them.
Uh-oh.
To my sister Jackie, I leave my pet iguana, Jub Jub. Why didn't you just leave me the bowel obstruction that killed her? To my dear childless nieces, Patty and Selma, I leave my grandfather clock and these words. Don't die lonely like me. Raise a family. And do it now! 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 Now!
Hey, a grandfather clock. Not bad.
The grandfather clock's good.
It's true. I thought it was a little dark that Jackie was asking for a bowel obstruction to kill her.
I'm fairly certain she was being facetious, Matt.
I would certainly hope so.
Yes. I do want to applaud Julie Kavner, because in that scene she is voicing five different people.
And does a fantastic job. It's very obvious who is who, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
That's really hard to do. Five voices, one scene. But they are, you know, and they ride home, and the metaphor couldn't be more clear as the clock ticks in their back seat that, you know... Selma's biological clock is now ticking, and you know that kind of foreboding warning from her Aunt Gladys is kind of now in her head, and she has she desperately wants a baby, and she actually professes this, and Maggie tries to escape the car.
It's okay, Maggie. She doesn't mean you, as far as we know. She hasn't tried anything yet. Remember, most child abductions are done by a family member, so you know, watch out.
That's lovely, Matt. That's great. That's good.
Hey, it's the truth, and led to a very interesting South Park episode.
Are we doing a South Park podcast, Matt?
No, but, you know, just wanted to let everyone know because it was a good episode. It has Mongolians.
With that, we go to commercial on The Simpsons.
And when we come back, we see Selma trying to follow through with what her aunt recommended to her. She wants to have a baby, so she starts out with a video dating service.
What do I do here?
Just tell us about yourself.
Well, I want to have a baby before it's too late. You're looking at a free lunch, boys. Come and get it.
Ugh! Back to the lock with ye, Nessie.
Poor Selma. Even Groundskeeper Willie in his awesome disco getup with the giant chains doesn't even want you.
The tying the cigarette with your tongue thing, that probably isn't the go-to thing. You probably shouldn't have that in your video.
Yeah, if it was a cherry stem, you know, like the cliche goes, maybe, but a cigarette, ooh.
Yeah, so, yeah, pretty gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, the video dating obviously doesn't go very well, so she tries a psychic, who it turns out makes a one heck of a truth serum, but a really bad love potion, as she tells Selma when she accidentally takes the truth potion. But, you know, Selma is persistent. She attempts to ask out one of the guys at the grocery store by hitting on him with the worst pickup line ever, wearing a belt, huh? Which, wow. That's well, one way to start a conversation.
She doesn't have much experience.
That's true. That's very true.
I'm kind of torn about some of the stuff that happens, especially in this act, in this episode, because it's kind of mean towards Selma. And yeah. I don't know if that's
but
just
I think it's very honest.
Well, yeah, I think I'm not sure if that's just so that we kind of empathize with how, like, kind of sad she is. She's not obviously not very good at this. Like, she...
That's true. She's never thought about it before, really, yeah, besides MacGyver.
Yeah, aside from MacGyver. But I think that's... You know, I thought about it a second. I'm like, that's probably what some of that meanness is about. But still, it seems that some of it is unnecessary, maybe. I don't know. It does work.
Probably.
It does work. You do empathize with her. You definitely feel for Selma.
Definitely. The way they portray her in this episode. Because after she fails at the grocery store, we see her at work, where she is trying to get Mole Man his license and sees that he's single. So she asks him out on a date, which may be the most boring date ever shown on television. but at the end of the night, Mole Man goes to kiss her to say thank you. And as a flash forward to their future with the ugliest children ever, she says nope and kicks him out of the car because that, no matter how badly she wants kids, she doesn't want his.
Which
is fair.
But she asked him out. And then, like, she doesn't have to kiss him, but just say no thank you and let him out of the car. And he's not even at his house, Matt. Poor Mole Man. He's not even home.
Poor Mole Man. Well, that's something for you. You know, she's just not used to all this human contact.
I guess that's very true.
Yeah, she's basically me without my wife. Before she came along, that was me. Just get out.
You were Selma?
Essentially, yes. Other people just made me, you know.
All right. That's interesting. That's good to know.
But when we get back from Selma's date, we see the Simpsons once again watching television. Shock of shocks. We see yet another commercial for Duff Gardens, where roaming gangs, a.k.a. Dolph, Jimbo, and Kearney, aren't a problem anymore, because apparently they kicked them all out and arrested them. We also see a young group of kids called Hooray for Everything doing a super generic happy song, which apparently they're performing at Duff Gardens.
It's not just any generic song. It is a, like, kids bop version of Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed, which is decidedly not PG friendly, but they make it PG friendly.
That is definitely not the worst song they've ever made a kids bop version of.
Maybe not the end result is the worst, but it might be the worst choice to make a kids bop version.
I don't know. They've made some kids bops of some really adult-centered songs. I think they're just like, you know what, we'll make happy music and skip some lyrics.
Okay, all right. We have seen these guys before, I believe, in Lisa the Great.
Yes, I believe they were performing at a football game, and Homer said he loved them and their great attitude.
Of course.
Because apparently they just like everything. Which is, you know, is good for Homer, because, you know, with the exception of Flanders, he tends to like everything, so hey. We see after this commercial, Patty, Selma, and Marge are, looking at a, no, sorry, crap. That's later. After this, we cut to Selma in a sperm bank, where she is attempting to get some sperm. But after looking at the wall and seeing that every baby seems to look like Barney and he is there giving a donation and every baby leaving the place is burping like Barney, that maybe that's not the best place to get some, you know, frozen sperm. Maybe.
And the fact the sign gag for the sperm bank is it's so put your sperm in our hands.
Just, what's wrong with that, Robbie?
It's so, like, I understand, like, this. That's just gross. I'm sorry. I'm fine with, like, most of the awful sign gags are fine, but this is, like, I'm surprised it actually made through the censors. I just think that's. That's gross. I'm sorry.
That's gross, but, you know, they do it to farm animals. Why not people?
People are not farm animals, Matt.
More or less. Anyway,
that absence of noise I was making, that was me being speechless, Matt. That's
I know. It was great. That's what I was going for there.
Oh, good. Thanks. That's appreciate that.
Any episode where I can horrify you is a win in my book.
Oh, good. Good. That's good.
But we then see Patty, Selma, and Marge going through a catalog for hopefully a different sperm bank with a better slogan called 101 Frozen Pops. Where I believe there is a Nobel Prize winner, an NBA All-Star, and one of the Sweat Hogs who is unfortunately not Horshack. I don't know who the Sweat Hogs are, but I assume that Horshack was the good one?
It depends what you mean by good, Matt. Welcome, from there, the Sweat Hogs were a group of young gentlemen, from the sitcom in the late 70s called Welcome Back, Cotter. Starring Gabe Kaplan as a teacher, and actually it was what launched John Travolta's career. That was his first gig. He was on that show when he made Saturday Night Fever and Grease, and then was no longer on that show because he was too famous. But it was actually kind of groundbreaking because it had a desegregated classroom. It had white kids and black kids and different ethnicities.
Heaven forfend.
Some places didn't air the show.
I'm assuming what Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas.
I read it was South Carolina.
That makes even more sense, especially after recent events.
Yeah, but Horshack was like the kind of dorky guy. I don't know. He wasn't really. Okay. None of them were like winners. They were all kind of.
They were losers in their own special way.
Yeah, they were like the loser kind of, even though they each had their own charm. I really like Welcome Back, Cotter, if you can't tell.
I can. I find it odd that they would choose the nerdy one, but I guess Patty and Selma did have a thing for Artie Ziff, so maybe that's their type, really.
He kind of does. Horshack actually does look like Artie Ziff. He's not rich or smart, but he does kind of look like Artie Ziff.
Well, at least now we know Patty and Selma's type. But while looking through this catalog, Marge and Patty are both trying to not really talk Selma out of it, but make sure that's really what she wants. Patty also mentions her bad experiences or catalogs with her bailer husband, who turned out to be a cardboard cutout, and her ham radio, which apparently only put her in contact with boring people who did not speak English, which, no surprise. But while they're, talking to her over this, Marge and Patty have actually some really good advice, and Selma has an even better comeback.
Are you sure you've thought this through? A child can really change your life.
You'll have to give up smoking. I'll chew. No man will want you. All I got now is sperm in a cup.
I especially like the back and forth murmurs there at the end. Just, they can come across so much with your sisters just by murmuring. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful in its own way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the next morning, we see Bart and Lisa run into the Homer and Marge's bedroom because apparently it is once again time to go to Duff Gardens. But unfortunately, this time, Homer is apparently deathly ill. He is almost white as a sheet. Despite what Bart says, he is not dead, thankfully. But apparently he has been eating the sandwich, which at this point we are treated to a wonderful history of the sandwich, which started out life as a 10-foot hoagie at a picnic of some sort, and then Homer proceeded to continuously eat, lose it, several times, including once behind the radiator where it proceeded to grow mushrooms on it. And unfortunately, it has apparently made him horrifically ill, no surprise for an unrefrigerated sandwich that had mayo on it at some point.
Yeah, that's... I really love this saga of this sandwich. It's such a Homer thing that he wants the disgusting sandwich. He gets like an emotional attachment to it.
Well, sandwiches are emotional things, so I can see where he's coming from, really. But
we'll just let that go. Sandwiches are emotional things. If we use quotes to name our episodes, Matt, that'd be it.
All right, I love it. But I'm wondering why that sandwich lasted so long. I mean, it was 10 feet. Come on, I had like 100 people's worth of Chipotle, and I knocked that out in a week. Come on, Homer, you're slacking here. You must be misplacing it.
Yeah,
there's no way it could last that long.
He's lost it a couple times. I mean, even Marge had to, like, she found it. You know, he'd missed, you know, he loses, Homer loses things. He's forgetful.
That's true. But luckily for Homer and Marge, Selma offers to take the kids. Well, actually, not luckily for Homer and Marge, luckily for Bart and Lisa. Selma takes them to Duff Gardens, and they give some, you know, false comforting words to Homer, and then cheer as they pull out of the driveway on their way out. And unfortunately, poor Homer can't have any solids, despite the fact that he loves solids. And he once again tries to eat the sandwich, but luckily Marge is there to slap it out of his hand into the trash can, and we fade to black.
Solids are pretty good, Matt. I agree.
They are. They're my favorite, too.
I don't know about my favorite, because pudding is pudding a solid? How about that? Answer me that.
Technically, yes.
Okay. How about hot chocolate?
That would not be a solid. That would be a liquid.
What about vapor?
Vapor, I believe, would be a gas.
Not you don't get you don't
are
see.
Are you huffing vapors now?
Don't intrude on my personal life, Matt.
Okay, fine. You do what you want, as long as you show up here on time.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I'm sorry, boss. I'll make sure I clock in right on time tomorrow morning.
Darn right.
As we come back, they're at Duff Gardens. It's quite. This is my favorite kind of my favorite part of this whole episode. It is kind of their first foray into satire of theme parks. We saw a little bit of Mount Splashmore, I guess, but not very much. This is more, and then even they do it, of course, even more in Itchy and Scratchy Land. But Duff Gardens, it's kind of a mixture of Busch Gardens mixed with a lot of Disney stuff, obviously. Like the Seven Duffs, for example.
It's the Seven Duffs! There's Tipsy, and there's Queasy, there's Surly, and Remorseful!
Hey! Take a picture, it'll last longer. Get out of here!
It's good to see that they don't break character or anything.
Well, we mean break. Aren't they just like the people who dress up at Disney, where it's like a. You know, they don't dress up as those characters. They, become friends with them? I forget how they phrase it. Do you know that, Matt? Do you remember?
The only thing I'm familiar with is Disney Bounty, where you dress up like the characters, but not close enough that people will think you're...
I've read people who've worked at Disney who dress up as the characters. While you are employed for Disney, you are not allowed to say, I dress up as this character, or I perform as this character. You, like, become friends with them or something.
Interesting. I have not heard that.
Yeah. Disney's, I would suggest all you guys out there to look out for, there's several different, articles online people have written who've used to work for Disney, and it's very interesting how the weird Disney culture insidery thing works. Bart also tries on beer goggles.
See the world through the eyes of a drunk. Wow!
You're charming the pants off of me.
What did you say, Aunt Selma?
I said take off those damn glasses!
It's weird how the beer goggles also affect your hearing.
It's like Google Glass, but they have built-in speakers. It's AR. Apparently. It's AR. It's beer AR.
Oh, wow. That's pretty advanced technology for back then.
I know, exactly. We have the Duff Hall of Presidents, which features a rapping Abe Lincoln, which is terrible.
And they're the only ones in there.
Yes. The show's pretty bad. This whole act, they're cutting back and forth between the kids and Selma at the park and Marge and Homer at home. Marge is kind of nursing Homer. Homer's looking pretty rough, has a Pepto helmet on instead of the beer helmet, has Pepto. She's rented both Yentl and Boxing's Greatest Weigh-Ins. So two classic.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Two classic VHS tapes. At the same time, back at the park. They go on the... Is they ever name the ride, Matt?
That Bart is on?
The Duff beer for me, Duff beer for you. They never name it.
I don't believe they do.
They go on the obvious parody of It's a Small World. I'm not sorry that I'm playing this.
Duff beer for me, Duff beer for you. I'll have a Duff, you have one too. Duff beer for me, Duff beer for you. I'll have a Duff, you have one too. Duff beer for me, Duff beer for you.
I want to get off.
You can't get off. We have 5 more continents to visit.
That's
at least it's better than the real song.
I'm not so sure if it's better than It's a Small World. It's very comparable. Anyone who's ever been on It's a Small World in Disneyland or Disney World or any of the other Disney's other overseas, it's a terrifying ride with a creepy song and creepy little marionette puppet guys and Simpsons. They captured it perfectly because it's all of those things. It's very terrifying.
Indeed.
Same time, Homer is doing better. He's back to full strength, it seems. It was a very quick recovery, for food poisoning especially. But Marge has rented a special videotape just in case, and that is The Erotic Adventures of Hercules.
Yeah, yeah.
They mentioned several episodes ago. Troy McClure did, and then we actually have seen it here, make an appearance. Homer at one point, interrupts Marge making beans with the famous Homercles cares not for beans.
I think I'm going to get that as a tattoo, just so you know.
Good, that's good, man. That'll be our show tattoo. Lisa, having been forced to drink the water by Selma on the Duff Beer for Me ride, has gone on to what appears to be an acid trip, seeing things it is actually excellently animated. It looks really nice. It reminds me of those, I forget the artist, but he did a lot of Hunter S. Thompson related art. It's like in the poster for Fear and Loathing. It's very similar to that.
I'm just trying to figure out how writers and artists knew what a drug trip would look like. I don't get it.
I know. It's baffling. These clean cut artist types would never, they just probably imagined it really good. Their imagination is that strong, Matt.
They have great imaginations then.
That must be it. Bart and Lisa both kind of scamper away. Selma loses them. Bart almost gets killed on a roller coaster. Lisa joins the parade, the robot parade, and floats, whatever, you know. And they find her, I believe, is it a fountain? They find her eventually?
Yes. Naked in a fountain.
Naked in a fountain. She receives some pills from an employee.
Give her this, and this, and then these.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
No, I'm not a doctor.
Which, to be fair, if he was a pharmacist, that would technically be true, which let's hope he is and not just, you know, some guy who had a white coat that day.
I don't think theme parks generally employ pharmacists, Matt.
But they do employ doctors?
He's not a doctor.
Fair enough. So
he's a fixer. He's a fixer.
He's a fixer. This will erase your memory of the day.
But Selma basically waves the white flag at this point and takes the kids home. And when they get home, they interrupt Homer and Marge being a little playful with each other. But Selma and Homer actually have like a little heart-to-heart moment. It's kind of sweet, actually.
How do you do it, Homer?
You take an ordinary bed sheet, fold it around like this.
No, I mean raising kids. I just couldn't cut it today. All I wanted was a little version of me that I could hold in my arms.
You know, we make a lot of fun of Selma, but man, that is... I think a lot of people out there can really empathize with her at that point.
Yeah, it's like in this moment really like emphasizes, you know, she's kind of just, she just wants a kid. She wants a legacy. She's alone. Like a lot, like a whole bunch of things all mixed up together. And the episode ends with her singing to Jub Jub, which they've rescued from their mother, both Pat and Selma, which is good because I'm fairly certain her mother would have killed that poor lizard.
Yeah,
and she sings a Natural Woman, or You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. Forget the actual title of the song, but you guys know the song. It is a reference to a similar ending of a Murphy Brown episode, where Murphy Brown was pregnant and then she had her child and sang that song to her. And it's a reference to that. I think that's a little weird. It's a little weird, just because that's not topical anymore. Most people are not, I don't think most people who just watching this fresh would know that's a reference to Murphy Brown, unless they watched Murphy Brown, which I don't think most people do anymore. But
no, but I feel like the ending works whether or not you've seen that. I mean, you probably don't get the reference or anything, but it's still a sweet song to go out on.
And that's true. And you do get the emotional impact still. You still understand what it means. It means, like, yes, she can't find, she hasn't had, like, didn't have an actual child, but she has a surrogate there, something that she can take care of and nurture and kind of can fill in, for that need. Overall, it's a good episode. A lot of really classic things, like the, you know, Deaf Garden, all the Deaf Garden stuff is very memorable. Homer's saga, sandwich saga, It's great. I love it. But there's also, like, it's also kind of melancholy a lot. Like, it's very, there's emotional core there. It's also a little, there's a couple jokes there that are a little, like, especially Aunt Gladys referring to her looking like a man several times. And I can deal with the meanness to Selma because it fleshes her out. I mean, this is an episode about her and kind of fleshing out her backstory. So that I can deal with, but those jokes are a little, it's kind of hitting below the belt. But it's a weird, it's good, and it tackles like a subject you don't see very often. Like,
not in animated shows.
Especially not in animated shows of like a middle-aged woman, you know, a single middle-aged woman wanting a child and kind of getting to the point where she can't have one and dealing with those feelings and stuff. But then mixed in like Deaf Gardens and stuff, it's very uneven, but good.
Well, I think what it comes down to is balance, and I feel like the best Simpsons episodes hit that perfect balance between being funny and being heartfelt, and this one I think skews a little too far from the being funny part, because, you know, there are a few good jokes here and there, and it's funny, a lot of the jokes we remember about the Simpsons, some of the really endearing ones come from this episode. I mean, the Duff Gardens, a lot of those jokes are from this episode, but most of it is not funny. It's just it's heartfelt and it's sweet and all that, but it moves too much in that direction.
Yeah, especially that the first act, it's, you know, it's mostly about going to a funeral. Not super funny generally, but, you know, it's still good. I still like it a lot. This is a very memorable episode to me. So we'll rank it at the end of the show, see where it goes. It's gonna be tricky. It's gonna be tough. Let's see, no submissions for this for my favorite episode, but if you have one, please submit at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com. Just simply explaining why a certain episode is your favorite. We will read it on air. Next up, Matt, it is time once again for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
This is where I will comb the old alt.tv.simpsons news group, which is available on Google Groups. If you Google it, you'll find it. It started up near the very beginning of the show, kind of the proto-internet. So I always look at the week the episode aired and see if anyone's talking about anything interesting. Mostly about LSD, Matt.
Oh, I mean, nerds who were on the internet in the early 90s knew about drugs too? Man, I am traveling in the wrong circles.
I guess so. They are speculating on what exactly Lisa ingested with that water. If it was LSD or some other kind of hallucinogenic. There's even a chemical engineer who is doing some kind of limited analysis from what's available. But interesting, I guess. It's weird what these people focus on sometimes. The other story of note is, I think I mentioned this when we did Lisa the Greek, but every Super Bowl, they would re-air Lisa the Greek beforehand, before the Super Bowl, and fill in, they'd redub it with the new participants, and Lisa had some crazy streak where she got like 6 right in a row or something like that, and people were like, wow, like this is before the Super Bowl actually aired this, when this went up, but they were like, wow, they actually, you know, they're impressed that they went to the effort. And that's kind of, it is kind of fun that they did that every time it re-aired, at least for a limited amount of times.
That's really impressive. I mean, I don't really pay that much attention to pro football, but being able to pick the Super Bowl winner six times in a row, that seems like you should be gambling at that point.
Well, Lisa was a good gambler, Matt.
That is true. I think that was the point of that episode.
Yeah, exactly. She was very good at it. But not much else. I think we can move on to our next segment. It is time for our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
We have a wiener, Matt.
Every time, man, every time.
Our listener question this week is, what is your favorite episode with verses in the title? Which there's some of the best episodes in the entire history of the show have verses in the title. First off, from Twitter, we have Shane at I don't know. Absolutely, March vs. Monorail. I ranked every Versus episode once, which was fun. March vs. Singles, etc. See, season 15 was by far the worst. Mark at Mark Preston, 1983. Gotta be Homer vs. 18th Amendment. Don't mention this to your mother, Rex Banner, or anyone. Classic. Izzy at Izzy Steak Fries. Grandpa for sexual inadequacy. Great fight and makeup episode for Grandpa and Homer, plus the kids' conspiracy theories. Reverse vampires. It's reverse vampires. John at ChapelStyle311. Yes, this production is accurate. I picked Homer versus Patty and Selma. Hashtag no collateral, break legs in advance. Amanda at Drawn to Insanity. Lisa versus Malibu Stacy. And let's forget our troubles with a big bowl of strawberry ice cream. On the Facebook, we have Bernardo. Even though Homer versus 18th Amendment is very close second, I have to say Bart versus Australia, mainly because it was the episode that taught me how to play Knifey Spoonie. Me as well. Greg, Bart, his answer, Bart vs. Thanksgiving. Really strong illustration of Bart and Lisa and how they really do love each other despite all of their differences. Big life lessons for Bart overall and such a heartfelt episode. Gretchen, the March vs. the Monorail and Homer vs. 18th Amendment are close contenders. I have to go with Lisa vs. Malibu Stacy. I've just always identified really strongly with Lisa, both her good and bad qualities, and this episode hits me right in my feisty feminist heart. Amen. Elliot, Homer vs. the 18th Amendment episode really opens the city of Springfield as it shows off home the Beer Baron's complex system of bootleggery. It's funny, a terrific spoof, and introduces Rex Banner. Quote, designated drivers, beat it. I got no room for cheapskates. We have Brian, also named Bort. Lisa vs. Malibu Stacy. It's a classic Lisa episode fighting for what she believes in. I love Smithers booting up his computer. Hello, Smithers, you're quite good at turning me on. Plus, all of Malibu Stacy's horrible sexist sayings make me laugh every time. My name is Stacy, but you can call me Whistle. I can't whistle. I'm sorry, guys. I honestly believe that Lisa in this episode helped me see sexism in the world at a much younger age than I would have otherwise. And finally, we have Victor. Grandpa for sexual inadequacy, because you, sir, look like you need help satisfying your wife. Hey. It's not nice. Now, Matt, what is your favorite? I'm very curious.
Well, I really have to go with a classic, Bart versus Australia. As a kid growing up, because I didn't really get into The Simpsons until they were syndicated on TV, because when The Simpsons came out, I was like four, and I was probably in middle school before I started watching the syndicated reruns that, you know, there were two a day in the early evening. And the one I saw at least a dozen times was Bart versus Australia. And that one, just the Australia jokes, the family spirit in that one, just more over and over and over again. It's just hilarious, and the jokes hold up, especially if you've ever seen Crocodile Dundee, which is where half of the jokes come from. But that's just it for me. What about you?
That's not a knife.
That's a knife.
That's
not a knife. That's a spoon.
I see you've played knife or spoony before.
I love playing a Knifey Spoonie. I do it all the time.
This is so stupid. My answer is The City of New York versus Homer Simpson. I love that episode. I love the fact that Homer is one of the luckiest men on Earth. You know, he stumbles in blindly into good luck everywhere. but not in New York City. New York City, he's entered the real world almost. Like, he stepped out of the Simpsons universe and stepped into our Earth, and he's just a normal guy that can't catch a break suddenly.
You mean that Treehouse of Horror episode?
Yeah, a little bit, actually, but although he gets cake in that Treehouse of Horror episode.
Erotic cake.
Erotic cake, which is, I mean, it has cake. I mean, it doesn't really matter what adjective you put in front of cake.
That is true. Cake is always good, erotic or not.
Erotic or non-erotic cakes. I'm a fan of both, but that is my answer. Next week's question. What is your favorite episode featuring either Patty or Selma? Either of the quote-unquote gruesome twosome. There's a lot of good answers for this. Can't wait to see what you guys say. You can find this question on all our social media. I post it everywhere. Find it on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Like us there. Follow us on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. Email us, as aforementioned, SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. You can, of course, also follow us on Tumblr, which is TheSimpsonsShowPod.tumblr.com. I try and repost stuff Simpsons related in all those places as well. And I also welcome any of our listeners to do so, which they do often, which I greatly appreciate. There's some great discussion going on from time to time. I also do giveaways from time to time. So, Matt, it is time once again for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
What are you saying, Matt?
I was like, the way you say that makes me seem like we've done this before.
Well, we have done this before multiple times in many episodes.
Yeah, so that's true.
Is there a glitch in the matrix? Is that what you're telling me, Matt?
There might be.
Might be a glitch. Look, watch out for black cats. Oh, wait, I have two of them. Well, black and white cats, they're not technically just straight black cats. But no Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will challenge one another with trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other. We take theme suggestions, none for this week, but, you know, from time to time we get them. And we also take submitted little trivia that I will try and hit Matt with and try and stump him as well. I will begin this week, Matt. I feel like I'm going to get a jump on you. You're easy.
Alrighty.
Are you ready for your easy question?
I suppose I am.
What television adventurer do both Patty and Selma love?
I believe that would be MacGyver.
Bonus points, who plays MacGyver?
Richard Dean Anderson, the greatest actor of all time, obviously. Although I have to be honest, he was better in Stargate than he was in MacGyver.
I'm going to get started on Stargate. Give me an easy question.
All right, your easy question. What theme park is Itchy and Scratchy Land based on?
You mean fictional theme park?
Yes, fictional theme park.
That could be either Jurassic Park or Westworld, which...
That is correct. Good job with the deep cut there. Not a lot of people have heard of Westworld.
Westworld's a good movie. It's an oldie but a goodie. Good science, 70s... There's a lot of 70s science fiction. That was a good one.
Yeah. All right, hit me with a medium.
Where do Patty and Selma share an apartment?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Is it?
Yes. I can see the sign, but the text is not coming through. Because I believe it was the episode where they burn it down by smoking in bed, and they said, I didn't do it. Yeah, I got nothing.
It is Spinster Arms Apartments.
Of course. That just makes sense.
It does. Give me a medium, Matt.
All right. What does Homer say his job is at Mount Splashmore?
He is a line inspector.
That is correct. God bless those line inspectors.
Tough job. Somebody's got to do it.
Yep.
Okay, Matt. You ready for hard one? This is hard.
Well, medium was hard enough, apparently.
All right. What is Selma's favorite brand of cigarettes? Selma's.
Ooh. Selma's. Virginia Slims?
Incorrect.
Oh, nerds.
Her favorite are the Laramie High Tars.
Oh, nerds.
I
thought it would be a real brand. I don't know why.
It's a hard... what are you going to do? Just make up a fake one off the top of your head?
Should have done that.
No. Okay. Give me a hard one, Matt. Give me a hard one.
All right, your hard one. What theory does Professor Frink use to prove that the robots will rebel in Itchy and Scratchy Land?
Chaos theory? If it's Jurassic Park, chaos theory?
You're close. It's a very special branch of chaos theory.
A branch.
Mm-hmm. A fake branch.
Good, that's good. We established that all that knowledge of chaos theory I have in real life will not apply to this because it's a fake branch of chaos theory.
Exactly.
I don't know, Matt. I cannot even guess.
Well, you were close. You know, a partial credit. It was elementary chaos theory.
Elementary chaos theory. Okay. All those.
Yep.
What did that not apply to Jurassic World? Have you seen Jurassic World, by the way, Matt?
I have not, no.
Okay. I'm probably not going to see it anytime soon, so I was curious if they mentioned chaos theory at all. I don't really care that much. I do not want to talk about Jurassic World. We won't talk about that. We've go off topic enough already. I've got some questions from a listener. Matt, you ready for these?
I suppose.
These are from Joanna, who has sent us a massive list of trivia. Welcome you guys. Please keep sending in more. I'm still working. I'll take in any new submissions. I try and mix things around. Give Matt a tough challenge. I'm going to give you some quotes, Matt. You have to tell me who said them. Who said, "I can't wait to eat that monkey"?
I believe that would be Grandpa.
That is correct. Pray for Mojo.
Poor Mojo. Homer just abused that poor monkey.
That poor monkey. How about, "When I get a hold of you, I'm going to use your head for a bucket and paint my house with your brains"?
Who in the episode could be that cruel? I'm going to have to go with Mo.
You're correct.
It's weird. It's like he's the most evil person.
He's just ugly. He's just an ugly guy, Matt.
Inside and out.
Inside
apparently.
And out. Yeah, exactly. Let me see. I'll just give you a straight up question. What happened to Grandpa Simpson's old house?
Grandpa's old house. We may have more specific here, but he sold his house in Lisa's first words to help the Simpsons buy their first house.
That is correct. I think she's referring to the old Simpson farmhouse.
Oh, yes, with the Radiation King.
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
But what do you remember what happened to it, Matt?
I believe Homer and Grandpa burned it down as part of a disagreement.
That is true. They did. They burnt down their house. One more. We'll do one more. How about that? What was the name of the toy airplane that Mr. Burns told Smithers to hop in?
Ooh. I always get the real and the fake one confused. It's the Spruce Goose?
No. That's
it's the moose then.
The moose, yeah, it's moose. Nerds. It's a hard one. That's the one people make a lot. The goose was the real one. Moose.
Of course.
The plane that also didn't work in real life. It was too heavy. But yeah, that'll do those. Thank you, Joanna, for those questions. Really appreciate it. You guys can send them in all our social media. Contact us. Send in those questions or anything you want to say. Suggest, I don't know, something? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On to our last segment, Matt. It is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the part show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This is a tough one to rank, Matt. It's a very good episode. It's just kind of strange in that it's a little uneven, like you said. It's very touching, and there's parts that are very, very, like, classic stuff. There's also parts that are, like the whole funeral bit. And, like, it's just kind of morbid, and the jokes some point are a little insensitive.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where nowadays we feel a little uneasy at a woman being made fun of for being mannish, and you know, we feel bad for people like Selma who want love but can't really find it, and it kind of sucks because I feel like in this day and age Selma would have been able to find someone on the internet to love her for who she was, but she had the unfortunate handicap of being, you know, back in the pre-internet days when this episode was made.
I think a good comparison that we've done recently is Homer's Triple Bypass, in that it is also kind of a melancholy episode that has a lot of, like, great stuff in it, but not necessarily, you know, the funny gag episode. It's more memorable for its character stuff.
Yep.
I don't think it's as good as Homer's Triple Bypass, though. I think I like that more.
I would definitely agree. I kind of feel like in the area around Homer's Triple Bypass on our list, the closest one that I feel is analogous is Lisa's Pony. Because in that episode, it's a slightly different arc and, you know, it's more funny, but it's even more heartfelt. But it's basically a character, you know, is striving to get something they want, but in the end has to settle for something lesser. I actually think that this is slightly better, because the jokes hit a little more, you know, rapid fire and are far more memorable, because almost no one remembers Lisa's Pony, but everyone remembers a lot of the jokes from Selma's Choice. So I would probably put it above Lisa's Pony, but how far is it as good as Lisa the Beauty Queen, you think?
I would say put it below it, but I'm so torn about this episode, because you could have talked me up probably higher or lower. But I think it is better than Lisa's Pony. I think Lisa the Beauty Queen edges it out just a little bit. But they're very comparable. I mean, quality-wise, can't have ties, I would say put it behind Lisa the Beauty Queen.
I can get behind that.
Okay. So, new number 23, Selma's Choice. Right behind Lisa the Beauty Queen, right ahead of Lisa's Pony, Marge vs. the Monorail. New number one, recent number one. See how long it can hold up. It's a murderer's row here. Last place still, Homer's Odyssey.
Wah, wah.
I know. You can find this list on our website, which is simply thesimpsonshow.com. Find pretty much everything there. New episodes, this list, links to all their social media. You can also donate to the show there if you'd like. We'd really appreciate it. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. It's MixmasterCereal. Please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true. However, at this point, I will probably be wandering around the German countryside doing what are called Volksmarches, where apparently you just go out and walk for 6 miles or so and enjoy the countryside. So if you see a tall, heavy guy somewhere in Germany, it's probably me.
You're not that heavy, Matt.
Compared to Germans, I am.
You're husky.
Europeans are a very fit people, especially Germans.
Watch out. Keep an eye out, Matt, okay?
I will.
Okay. All right. Just be careful. I think we can call it a day. With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.